and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God take a standout football player at Kapa'a High School to a full athletic scholarship at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, where he graduated with a degree in communications and public relations before being drafted by the Miami Dolphins? How does that scholar-athlete become mayor of Kauai for 10 years and today stand at the threshold of becoming lieutenant governor of the state of Hawaii? This is the story of Bernard Carvalho. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ. My friend, that there is always hope in Jesus, even as Mayor Carvalho would share hope in his love, hope in his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, that he shed his blood on the cross to wash our sins away, that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again from the grave. And today the living Christ calls you to himself. Mayor Carvalho is the eldest child of Bernard Carvalho Sr. and Priscilla Hanohano. When Mayor Brian Baptiste passed away suddenly in June 2008, Mayor Carvalho won the election, serving 2 years before winning two successive four-year terms. He met his wife, Gina, in California. They have three children, Bronson, Brennan, and Brittany, and two grandchildren, Welina and Nahoa. Mayor Carvalho joins us from his office in Kauai. Mayor, welcome to our show.
Aloha, and thank you so much for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to talk and share my story.
Where in Kauai did you grow up?
Born and raised in downtown Kapa'a, in the moku of Puna. And, born and raised in Kapa'a, and fortunately had a little hard upbringing. My parents were divorced when I was young, 10, 11, and I was the oldest of four, like you mentioned earlier. So we really had to start with leadership in the home. I always talk about that, with the blessings, of course, to really help take care of my brothers and sisters. So that kind of started this leadership part of my life right here in Kapa'a.
Who would you say influenced you most, Mayor, in your growing up years?
You know, like I said, my parents were divorced, so of course, having to really watch my brothers and sisters. But my dad worked really hard. He was a provider, more so. But the person that really impacted my life was my grandmother, Georgina S. Carvalho. She was the one that really instilled that working hard, ethic of working hard, and of course, keeping things clean. That's her. But more importantly, she was the one who made sure we went to church. And she started me personally on that path to assuring that we go to church. St. Catherine's Church was our parish. And so she stepped in and really was the one to help us and love us. Like I said, we didn't have a lot, but the love and the food, her food, and just her love, which is what I carry with me every single day till now. And being a grandparent myself, I just share that with my grandkids today.
A moment of reflection, Mayor. Let's go back to the boyhood days at Grandma's house, Grandma's cooking. What was your favorite dish that she made?
Of course, Grandma made the best Portuguese bean soup, of course, bottom line. But she made tortas. Tortas is, eggs, and just a special way she did her dish. Portuguese dish. And, of course, you cannot forget the coco with soda cracker and dairy gold butter. That was breakfast. And dip it in, you know. And so I remember that, that kind of thinking, you know, you didn't have cereal all the time. You didn't have a lot of the other stuff, you know. Oh, in fact, in cereal, you did it with Carnation evaporated cream with ice cubes, and you pour the cream, you add water, and that's your milk with cornflakes. So that's the kind of thinking when you mentioned that. From breakfast, lunch was always tuna sandwich. And of course, dinner, whether it be just eggs and rice sometime and Portuguese sausage. And so anyway, those are the memories I have. And, you know, you had what you had, and that's how you lived.
Well, somehow we just talk about food. It just gives a special bond. You feel a connection, closeness. When did you start playing football?
Yeah, so, you know, growing up, of course, in Kapa'a, and then Kapa'a High Elementary School and all the way through. So, like I said, leadership in the home, and then got into high school. And really, high school was a safe place for me. I really connected with my teachers, my counselors, the principal. I'm the guy always asking questions, you know, and trying to, you know, understand issues and concerns, and very involved in school, Future Farmers, Hawaiian Club, chorus, and then, of course, played sports, basketball, and football. So that kind of kept me really busy. Not to mention, my first election was student body president, 1979, Kapa'a High School. And so that kind of took that little direction as well, overall within school. And that, like I said, was a safe place for me to go.
Well, 1979, that was, I guess the year before you came to UH, right?
Yeah, and in 79, which, thank God, I you know, again, talking about my dad and at home life, we really didn't have that much, so I didn't have the means to go on to away to school, to college. So if anything, I would go to Kauai Community College, maybe, depending on my dad's, you know, situation. So there was really no attempt there. But thank God I got a visit from Coach Dick Tomey and Coach Bob Wagner from the University of Hawaii, who came to our home, sat in our living room with my dad and myself, and offered me a full 4-year athletic scholarship to the University of Hawaii to play for the Rainbow Warriors. And so that was the beginning. That changed my life, because now I had a ticket, if you will, to go to school, to go to college, a 4-year college, all paid for. Mm-hmm. And that's the blessings, I believe, from the Heavenly Father, who kind of, I believe, watched over me every step of the way.
Well, let's talk about your faith for a moment here. Your Christian upbringing there at St. Catharines. How did your faith grow in those early years?
You know, now as I'm older now, I understand that back then, but there was always that connection for me of wanting to go to church and be part, especially my grandma was a big part of it. But, you know, I did all my sacraments, Holy Communion, the whole everything, right? And I always would stop by, even in high school, just go sit in the back, just to kind of sit down and think things through. Like I said, life was kind of hard. And from that young age, I didn't really realize it, but that was my place to kind of sit and reflect and just pray, like my grandma taught me. And so even up into college, I was joined the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was always involved in that. So at college level, I joined the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. This is a great organization of brothers and sisters, you know, and being connected. And that helped me from high school, of course, and into college.
What difference would you say Jesus has made in your life?
Jesus has made in my life has really guided me, I believed, and helped me to not give up, to keep going, to always find balance and be a, you know, a loving person. I mean, that to me had helped me. I could not really cite the Bible per se, but I knew I had a connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like I said, going throughout college, and I always somehow would always go to church on Sundays, whether it be here, California, wherever I was. So there was that connection, and I believe it was in my upbringing with my grandmother, and the need to sit, pray, reflect, get blessings, and then things would just happen. And throughout my life, from getting that scholarship to other things that had happened, going to the Miami Dolphins, all of that, I believe, was blessings on this path that I'm still taking till today. Mm. And I'm very thankful for that.
Well, I can say, Mayor, that when you were playing at UH, I was at every home game.
Oh, you're there.
because the names like Tim Lyons and...
Oh, yeah, Tim Lyons.
Dwayne Coleman and Dino Babers were all very close to me. And I remember watching and just sort of following you as your star rose, and they went to the professional NFL and today doing marvelous things. Bernard Carvalho, you can find out more about his upcoming, he's right in the middle of it now, Bernard Carvalho, BernardCarvalho.com. You know, Mayor Carvalho immersed himself in many community efforts. Among the leadership roles he held, president of Kapaa High School's Parent Teacher Association, and more. When we come back, he'll share more about his calling or his vision of a career in public service. Now, you know, when you think about public service, there's a lot of glamour to it. But at the same time, I think we could say there's a great deal, perhaps more than we realize, of sacrifice, of giving upon giving, perhaps even giving when you feel there's not much more to give. And he's found his strength in the Lord, and he's shared the love of God and continues to do that in his service today as mayor of Kauai. And today on the threshold of lieutenant governor of the state of Hawaii. More with Bernard Carvalho when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me call.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Among the leadership roles, he's held president of the Kapaa High School Parent Teacher Association. There's more. Board member of Hale Ho'omalu Family Center and member of the Kauai Hau District Leadership, their anti-drug coalition. He's also served as a member of the Hawaii State Fatherhood Commission. I'm speaking of Mayor Bernard Carvalho. He's running for lieutenant governor. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for joining us. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, hey, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, download the free podcast, share it with a family member or friend. Mayor, when did you begin to envision a career of public service?
Well, let me say this. You know, after, like I said, graduating from the University of Hawaii and then taking it a next step to being part of the Miami Dolphins football team and drafted in the seventh round, and then coming back and becoming getting married. My wife is from Oceanside, California, and believe it or not, I saw her in St. Mary's Church in Oceanside, California. And so from that point, we got married 33 years as of today, married. And coming home now and being able to move home. And all my life I've been involved in community coaching and community events and being part of bringing people together. That's my strength, of being able to bring people to the table, being very involved in Hale Ho'omalu, like all the organizations you mentioned, Queen Ili'okalani Children's Center with Kathy Simao at that time, who's now my secretary. But we had a good relationship in working for the betterment of the community. I was always involved in community service and working within the schools and how we can help our children and our kupuna. And that was just part of my upbringing in me and who I was, all the involvement, even the Fatherhood Commission. That was a great opportunity to work with dads and help dads to be good dads and better dads. And I was a dad at the time, of course, myself, with our three young children, my wife and I. And the good, nice thing about it was that we both were involved. I was PTSA president for the school, or Parent Teacher Guild for St. Catherine School, Kamehameha Schools Association of Kauai, because my son went to Kamehameha, one of the sons, Brennan, and my other son went to St. Louis. And so all of these very involved with community, school, and organizations. That was just my footprint, if you will. Mm-hmm. And very happy to be part of that. And God, the blessings from the heavens above, I feel kept me and us kind of going through it every step of the way, because it dealt with people and reaching out and helping people and acknowledging the needs of our people in different ways. And so I'm very involved, of course, in my children's sports and schooling, as you can see. So just a menu of things as a husband, as a father, kind of working up. And when I got home in 1985, I actually started in the county of Kauai in the department of a division of Parks and Recreation. So I was actually with the Parks and Recreation Department, again, involved with senior programs, youth programs, parks and recreation kinds of activities. And so I was kind of right in the middle of all that as well in my career, as I began my career within the government. And that I stayed there for 17 years as a civil servant.
What has been most rewarding during your years of service?
You know, like I said, the work that I've done or been involved in always dealt with enhancing people's lives, helping people to be better themselves, families, adding to the quality of life. Even in Parks and Recreation, I was responsible for a lot of different youth programs, senior programs, and all of that. Then administratively, I worked my way up, and 17 years civil service, and then I became a department head under Mayor Baptiste, like you mentioned. And in that department, I was responsible for elderly affairs, seniors, recreation programs, youth and kupuna, transportation, the Kauai bus, and housing. And so that was my department and I had to manage. So all of that touches the lives of people. And that's smack dab into, I felt, was in my line of interest and of work. And all spiritually connected, of course, throughout that time. And then now is having the chance to serve as mayor for 10 years. And again, still serving the people. I keep saying, I'm not a politician, I'm a servant. And very proud to have, you know, been involved in so many parts of our community, and now to lead in this capacity and to make decisions that can take our island into a place where it can better serve and be more healthy and spiritually connected.
How did you and Gina and your family decide this is the time for you to run for lieutenant governor?
Well, as we sat together as a family, Gina and I, and I said, you know, we're winding down 10 years. And I told her, you know, I still wanted to serve at a higher level. And I've been pretty consistent from, you know, my civil service, department head, mayor, and then now would be the next level. I felt, we felt, would be lieutenant governor. And I wanted to bring to that lieutenant governor's office all of my administrative experience with that Neighbor Island perspective and understanding how to bring people together and listen to the people's needs first and reach out and connect and then make decisions. And so that, to me, to us as a family, fit where Gina is in her career too as a registered nurse for 28 years. And we're caring for our mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, her mother, who's with us now, who is kind of dementia. So we have that too. So that footprint for us now fit into the next step. And then for me personally, of course, the lieutenant governor's office is a place where it's about the people. It's about building relationships. It's about bringing people to the table. I want to be the bridge. I want to be the voice. And I want to be the action. In the lieutenant governor's office, working closely with whoever's governor, but I feel with all of my experience from the community level to the family level, you know, and all of it ties into what is needed at the state level, and that's what I feel I can bring to the table, along with my spiritual connection. You know, every second Thursday of the month for the past 10 years, I meet with all pastors in my office, 20 pastors, 15 pastors, just to pray for that month, and I've done it for 10 years, and I'm very thankful. That is what helped me get through every single thing I do, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity to stay engaged.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the bigger, broader issues on a statewide level, your positions on these mayor. What is your position on homelessness and affordable housing?
Okay, let me talk about that. You know, obviously, housing, homelessness, houselessness, all of it, I believe is a statewide issue. If we were to address the homeless issue as we speak, there's four areas that I think we got to hit on first before we can even get to a bigger picture. There's a houseless community, the mom with two children, living in her car, working every day, just trying to make ends meet. I spoke with our faith-based community to help maybe shepherd this houseless community into a different way, into the church. And so that was one way I felt that the faith-based community could help the mom who is in that situation. Number two is the homebound. And the homebound are the ones that come here, are here, but they want to get back to where they come from, whether it be Nebraska or California. So working with the nonprofit agencies, we come up with a program that allows us to work with that person to go back home on a one-way voucher, but they would have to be received back by a church, by a family member, or by a doctor. And that has been successful in getting people back home via this voucher program and having them safely returned from where they come from. That has been done. The third one is our mental health community that is kind of pretty much out there. And so we're working with the Department of Health to deploy all of our key leaders to go out and do a better assessment on those in need of mental health support and then shepherd them to where they need to go. And finally, the houseless or the homeless is the ones that choose to be homeless. And so we're working on some hygiene stations where they can have shower and have lockers. And so that kind of covers that four areas, I believe. But the bigger picture has to come from the state level down to the counties in a footprint that will help support them with funding, with housing, with support, and all of that from a bigger picture instead of individually. And I think that's a big picture there for housing.
So with the Department of Health, DOH,
yes.
you bringing the main support, as you were saying, the NGOs, non-government, faith-based. Why is that such a vital part of the plan?
Well, because see, a lot of, like I said, so like for instance, one of our churches here, Aloha Church, they would say, okay, take two or three of like the houses that they live in, their cars. They can park their car on the church property, have access to restrooms and shower facilities, and also become of the church, and then work within the church congregation. You have electricians, you have carpenters, you have people within the church to help support. I'm not saying it's the answer, it's part of the answer. So we can look at areas like that where this mom or dad or family is really trying to make the next month's rent. I feel that's the role right now that can tie into some of our churches. And they've been more than willing to help with that. We do the assessment, but they can help be part of the church. A lot of churches want to expand their churches or they want to build a new church. We have a couple here. So I'm asking, would you consider adding three shelter units on their property? Two, in addition to just adding a wing, and maybe we can look at support that way, because that's the blessing that's going to come to the family. So that's just one example of trying to tie in government with the community, especially the faith-based side, and encouraging more support that way.
Well, when we come back, Mayor, let's talk a little bit about transportation, and of course the big question will come up, rail and education and so on. You're listening to Mayor Bernard Carvalho. You can find out more about Mayor Carvalho and his campaign for lieutenant governor at bernardcarvalho.com. Again, bernardcarvalho.com. The mayor is the recipient of an HMSA Ola Pono Award for Community Service. His family was named East Side Family of the Year by the Interfaith Council of Kauai. He's here sharing with us vital points on a statewide level. Mayor Bernard Carvalho sharing heart to heart with you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, he's able to speak about issues. We're going to spend more time with that, but you listen to Bernard Carvalho, Mayor Bernard Carvalho, and you start to feel that he loves people. He loves to be around people. He loves to, well, he says he's not a politician, he's a servant. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Mayor Bernard Carvalho with us today. You can find out more about him at bernardcarvalho.com. He's running for lieutenant governor. Again, bernardcarvalho.com. Mayor, transportation and infrastructure. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then, of course, I think it'll lead right into the big question about rail. What's your take on transportation and infrastructure?
Well, let me say this, you know, just here on Kauai and in the bigger picture, of course, getting people out of their cars and into some kind of shuttle or bus service is a big vision for me. I think getting people around in a holo-holo type of way, if you know what I mean. And so on Kauai, we expanded bus services here. I said every single bus stop shall have a bus shelter here on Kauai, which we do now have if you come to Kauai. Very supportive of the bus system. And especially with our kupuna and our paratransit program, where you take our kupuna to their appointments. We worked out a program with Kauai Community College now that when you enroll for school, for college, it automatically comes with a bus pass. Another way of getting our students on the bus. So, and then the most recent for Kauai was our receiving a $13.8 million Tiger grant, which is a transportation grant from the federal government. Very competitive grant. But it helping us to transform our island into walkable, bikeable, complete streets, safe routes to school, connected community, roundabouts, all of it. And we're transforming the heart of Kauai into a connected kind of community. And I'm very proud of that movement, walking paths, connecting our kupuna so they can walk safely if they choose to. And all of that is happening as we speak. And now you talk to the bigger picture for the entire state. That's a footprint, I think, can grow to the bigger level.
Someone today might be listening, Mayor, and they say, "Wow, it's hard not to like this man. You know, there's a gregariousness to him. There's a warmth to him. He can relate." But Danny, someone might ask, Mayor, they say, "Kauai, 65,000-66,000 people.
Right.
He's giving us examples about Kauai and good examples." We're talking Oahu, 953,000-954,000,
right,
but the state,
right.
1.4 plus million. How can he bridge that gap? What would you say?
I would say, number one, sometimes a smaller footprint is, you know, like smaller footprint, if you know what I mean. You work out the details, you know who to bring to the table, you know how to deal with issues that come to the table, and you build your plan, your solid plan, thinking big, see? So you develop these smaller size footprints of issues, whether it be transportation, housing, and like I said, you connect with the right people. I can take an idea, a solid plan to Washington, D.C. from a small island like ours and come back with a $13.8 million Tiger Grant example, which is very competitive. But what I'm talking about, I know what it is. I know how to put it together. I know how to manage that and take it to the bigger level. I've lived on Oahu because I went to the University of Hawaii. I got family members live there. My son went to St. Louis. My other son went to Kamehameha. So, you know, I know my mom lives there. So there's a bigger footprint that you can take to the bigger level. And so that's what I'm talking about. Doesn't matter if you're small or big. It matters you have the heart, the soul, the understanding, the connection, and the ability to bring people to the table based on critical issues that will affect the people of this state. And I believe that the things that we've done here can be taken to the bigger level. It's all about empowering people and bringing people in with the right understanding and the right determination, and let's go. And it's doing it with aloha.
Well, you talk about critical issues. I don't know, if there is any bigger critical issue. Of course, there's other issues now on the Big Island with the volcanoes, but a recurrent in the dialogue of the state has been rail.
Yes.
Mayor, what's your position there with rail?
Right, off the top, you know, we cannot stop the rail. It's already here. I would have done it differently. I would have, you know, definitely made it sure they went at least up to the University of Hawaii, because I think that's a major connection there from Kapolei all the way to University and back. I would have started it from university first and then with the other way, but that doesn't matter right now. What matters is how are we going to manage this major, major transportation opportunity for Hawaii. I'm going to say Hawaii. And so I think what I would have done, of course, is bring all the contractors, I said all the local contractors in the room, talk to them, figure out how you guys think, what you think this should be, because a lot of it has to do with infrastructure. We're all building above ground, but we're forgetting about what's below ground. And how are we going to manage that? How are we going to assure that what's below ground can be sustainable? And, you know, we come from a different kind of setting. We have lava tubes below ground, and we have different kinds of infrastructure needs. And I think that's a major issue for me. But we need to continue the rail, I believe. There's a positive thing here, but there's also a big, big part that is missing, and that's the people part, because people don't understand. And I think we got to do a better job in reaching out into the community, getting people more aware of what's happening with the rail system and how it's really going to impact and move people around with aloha. And I think it can happen, but we cannot not address it. So I'm willing to take it and work it and put some of my thoughts and ideas, smaller picture, big thinking, and I think we can come up with a solid system that will work. It's going to take time, but like I said, my concern right now is the infrastructure, what is below, and how we're going to sustain that and keep it moving.
And the average person, I'm kind of making this part up in terms of it being the average person, but I'm quite certain that this conversation does get carried on with many people. So I think I'm speaking to a broad group, or relating with a broad group, when they say the cost, Mayor, is gonna, it's not slowing down. The longer it takes, it's becoming astronomically more.
Right.
People might not even know the details of it, but they just feel overwhelmed when they hear it. What would you say to speak
what
into
I would
a situation
say is,
like
what I've
that?
Learned in my capacity as Mayor, again, it's how you adjust the situation and how you come up with a solid, enhance the plan that is already in place, because there are resources available that can be brought to the table to help support the future of this rail. But you got to know how to, in other words, what I've learned here, there's different pots of money all over the place. You have to have the right plan, the right people, the right thoughts in place to attract the funding that is there. And I think if we can reevaluate, rethink things through, how we're going to get from point A to point B and do more of a service kind of area and then take it from point B to point C, I believe we can attract funding that will come from the federal level into this picture and continue to work with this rail system to make it work for the future. And that, to me, we have to, because to not address it now would be not healthy for this community. And I know we can. I know there's a way to do it. And I know there's opportunities in the future to make this happen.
There's a sense of creativity and hope that you convey. You mentioned you got to, there's pots of resources available. You got to know where to look for them, and know how to position yourself to receive those. There's a this level of intelligence that you convey, Mayor, comes against the reality that we face today in Hawaii, though, which is a brain drain, where people are leaving. There's concerns with the way the educational system is. So let's talk about that now, this issue, the issue of education as a state, now campaigning for Lieutenant Governor. What would you say with regard to these concerns?
You know, education is a big part. My daughter is a school teacher. I have two grandchildren now going to preschool pretty soon. One is in elementary school. And, you know, having me part of the education system, I think overall we have an opportunity. I believe with the preschool level, preschool should be free for all kids. I mean, they should have an opportunity. Okay, bottom line right there. And I went to the opposite end of the spectrum, to the college level, being a graduate of the University of Hawaii, and really looking opportunities there, but more in the trade areas. There's a lot of people needing the extra kind of education and opportunities there, and working within the school system or the university system. I think there's a big, big opportunity to reach out and abroad as well, in internships and programs and like that, but more in the trades and that kind of certification kind opportunities. We need more mechanics and more air conditioned repair people, that kind of level that needs to kind of continue, I believe, because the people I've been talking to. So I think there's a reevaluation of the education system that needs to happen. Of course, within the schools, there's another part there. You know, I think there's an indoor classroom and there's an outdoor classroom setting. And the outdoor classroom involves our environment, our culture, and all of that needs to find balance in how we move forward in educating our young students of the future. And if we can look at that kind of curriculum, like on Kauai, we instituted the Kauai Nui Kapapa program, Nui Kuapapa program, where we came to a curriculum of all the moku system on the island, teaching our kids what grew here did not grow here, what flowed in one moku didn't flow in the other, and incorporating that curriculum within the school system so they understand their land division and the land and the environment. That's a big part, I think, that needs to be incorporated as well into the curriculum.
Mayor Carvalho expressing his ideas, his hopes, his dreams, really, for education, and he's tackling some tough issues here. We are able to focus in on certain things. Of course, he can elaborate only so much because of the constraints of time. But when we come back in our final segment, we'll talk a little bit about agriculture and environment and culture, as well as maybe some moments of areas that move in more of a personal level. A person who's able to lead, a person who's able to provide hope, needs to have the ability to give guidance, but also an ability to communicate. And the ability to communicate has to be more than just on a cerebral level, theories and ideas, communicating at the heart. I think that's something special that we have today, and Mayor Carvalho will be back with more. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So, Mayor Bernard Carvalho began his career with the county, Kauai County, in 1985 for the Department of Public Works, and he worked his way up over the next 17 years. Now he serves as mayor. He serves as mayor for 10 years, and he's running for lieutenant governor. You can find out more about him and his campaign, BernardCarvalho.com. Again, BernardCarvalho.com. Mayor, quickly, sort of like a lightning round now, your position, your take on agriculture and environment in this year, lieutenant governor campaign.
Agriculture, very important. We grew up in the pineapple and sugarcane days. One example here on Kauai, again, that I want was important to me. We took a 75 acres and converted it to an agricultural park where people can come and grow what they want to grow. We, the government, we just step aside, provide the infrastructure and the land, and let the people grow what they want to grow and manage that growing crop area. And then we're closer with the schools. School, farm to school program. And to me, that's just a footprint that I think we need to look at overall. But agriculture is a big part here on Kauai. Kauai coffee is a big part of our island. But looking globally or statewide, we need to totally support agriculture because that's our livelihoods and that's where we come from.
How about the Native Hawaiian culture?
Oh, yes. Like I was saying, the decisions we make up today has to be tied to the past so the future can flourish. And by that I mean, like I mentioned earlier, our Kauai Nui Kūpapa program. When you come to Kauai, it took a while, it took effort and a lot of determination, but when you ride along our roadways, you'll see signage depicting each moku. And that sign, each sign will tell you the color, the fish, and the plant that represents that moku. Halalea, Ko'olau, Puna, Kono, Kona, Napali, and Nihau. So that kinds of examples of really reaching back and honoring our culture first before we as government leaders make decisions has to be incorporated that way in order for us to move forward. And I totally believe that. There's a full curriculum piece that's going to go into the schools very shortly, and later on we'll talk about that. But to me, that's the culture connection that is very important. The land, the water, the aina, of course, and everything that lays out that makes Hawaii special.
You talk about making Hawaii special. Let's talk about Kauai. What do you treasure most about Kauai?
Kauai being the oldest island in the state, a lot of our cultural practitioners come to Kauai to reconnect. Ke Ahu Alaka Heiau, example, on the North Shore, very, very important part for our hula. A lot of our kupuna and a lot of our hula teachers come here to Kauai to reconnect. There's a lot of sacred parts on the island. Niihau, of course, our Hawaiian people live right out here. We're going to preserve the Niihau language. We're going to incorporate that within how we manage ourselves in the future. So Kauai, the land, the aina, the people, very special place. Like the entire state, every island has their own charm and character and connection. But for Kauai, you know, the guardian island of the world, very happy to live here. And I believe there's a special blessing here for our island, and very thankful to be born and raised there.
Well, with that, from a broader scope now, Mayor, as Lieutenant Governor, what would you say you would treasure most about the state of Hawaii?
I believe, like our dear Senator Daniel K. Akaka, who passed away recently, it's just aloha. And believe it or not, I did a talk at one of our Easter services, and the word aloha has a total biblical connection from akahai, kindness, treat each other with kindness. El, lokahi, unity, stand strong as people, never give up. O, olu, olu, agreeable, agree to disagree, and let's work together. H, ha, humility, humbleness. Let's look at ways to make sure that we move forward. And then, of course, olu, olu, and ahunui, patience. Corinthians 2:6-7, ahunui, patience. So the word aloha, we cannot speak it, we cannot just sing it, we cannot dance it, we got to live it. And that's the words of our dear Senator. I think if we can stick to that, the entire state is what makes Hawaii special from anywhere else in the whole world. The word aloha, how it's tied in, kindness, unity, agreeable, humbleness, and patience, has a total biblical connection, which makes this space a beautiful place throughout the whole world.
On a personal, this is all personal. I know it comes
personal.
From your heart. As
yes.
you speak, it just flows out of your heart, Mayor.
I feel it, but, yes.
How has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Let me say this. In October 2016, I'm going to say this. You know, I've talked about my walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But on October 2016, I had a personal relationship and born again relationship with our Lord and Savior. And that was a time, well, like I said, when I talked to a group of young men, I said, you all know me as Mayor Bernard Cavallo, but do you have a personal relationship with me? Nobody really had it. And that's what I meant. I now have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. And with that, which led to a very successful mayor's prayer lunch in over 1,800 people for the past 10 years, all in one place, every year, coming to pray for government, for hotel, for working men and women, for the environment. We pray together in one setting on our island. And like I said, every second Thursday of the month, I meet with all of our pastors in here to pray for guidance and support. And I always say, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I shall not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. And to me, if we can take the leadership role like that, I think, I believe 100% that we can make things happen for a beautiful state.
Someone today is going through a challenging time themselves. How would you encourage this man or woman or this boy or girl or maybe a senior in this challenging time in life? A word of encouragement.
I would tell everybody there's three most important things in the whole wide world. Faith to stay strong, hope to never give up, and love unconditionally. Because when you love unconditionally, anything is possible, and the blessings will flow. Never give up. Stay strong. Stay in the light. Make sure you stay connected. Faith, hope, and love.
Mayor, what do you do when you have a brief moment? Could I call it a downtime? Do mayors have downtimes?
I go to my prayer closet. I have a prayer closet. It doesn't have to be an actual closet. I go right there, and I get on my knees, and I just reconnect. That's the truth. And that, to me, you have challenging times. You have times when things get really difficult. Sometimes you question things. But then you just reconnect, go within yourself, talk to yourself, and then stay connected, you know, spiritually, and then everything flows. That's what I believe in. So go to your prayer closet, wherever your prayer closet is, people, and reconnect, and then move on.
Mayor, it's been a real blessing having you with us today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. I appreciate this very much.
Mahalo and aloha.
Encouraging words from Mayor Bernard Carvalho, bernardcarvalho.com. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. Matthew 19:6, Jesus said, "With God, all things are possible." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Mayor Bernard Carvalho, bernardcarvalho.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.